Supervisors, today is July 24, 2012. Time is 9 o'clock a.m. Everybody please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I start this morning with a presentation. August 2012 is Child Support Awareness Month in Stanislaus County. Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman O'Brien, Supervisors, CEO Nino, and County Council Doering. Tamara Thomas, Interim Director of the Department of Child Support Services. Here with me today, helping with the PowerPoint presentation, is Sharon Wardell Trejo, Manager 3 with the Department of Program Operations. It's my pleasure to provide and request that you proclaim this next month, August, as Child Support Awareness Month. Child support can mean many things to the parents and children providing support. But for the department's purposes, you have a list of items on the screen in front of you that define what I believe to be the groundwork for a successful child support program. We need to meet the goals and objectives of the federal mandates and measures, yet understand the larger accountability of working with customers and partners to provide an economic safety net for the families in our community. We have two focuses in the child support program as we carry out our work, one of financial support and the other providing an avenue for families to be healthy. We know through the research that both are valuable components to raising children into successful adulthood. These next items on the slide before you are just a few of the common items that parents report to us. They rely on child support payments and health insurance to provide. There are a hierarchy of needs, the basic clothes, food, shelter, and extracurricular activities for children. On the fiscal side of child support, this year we were able to increase our support collections to just over $48.8 million, just shy of breaking our 2006 highest collection year. Over the past 6 years alone, we have collected over $289 million in economic revenue, dispersed to families, and recouped dollars on behalf of the federal and state governments. This next chart is one that should look familiar to you. I shared it with you last year. It shows our current ability to sustain effective collection dollars and support despite the resources that we are up against and the decline of those resources, primarily a decrease in staff and funding this year for the first time, as well as the ability for our parents to find employment in these economic challenges. This is a testament to our staff and their ability to appropriately encourage payments to be provided and processes to be handled with quick resolution. At this time, our staff are watching this presentation back at the worksite, and I want to personally thank them for their ability to engage our customers in doing the right thing for the right reasons. They are determined, engaged, and take seriously their responsibilities despite the tough circumstances they are often placed in. The next two slides are direct outcomes of their engagement in our work. This table shows our increases in the federal performance measures over the last 2 years, and we have increased in all five performance measures in the past year. I'd like to specifically call out our cost effectiveness number of $3.49 for every dollar that we spend. This is the highest cost effectiveness number that we have had in the history of the department, and it's up 30 cents from the prior year. In comparison, the state average right now is $2.25 for every dollar spent. Additionally, this year, we moved our overall state ranking from 32 to 26 when compared to all other counties in the federal measures. And I'm also very proud to say that I'm shooting for the top 15, so look out for next year. Most importantly, the child support employees are engaged in providing excellent customer service. They recognize their expectations of their roles, and they perform these expectations very well. These quarterly numbers from the most recent Stanislaus County Satisfaction Survey represents how our customers feel we are doing when it comes to providing the services that they need, and I am, again, very proud of the work that the staff continues to do. The last bullet on slide 2 at the beginning of this presentation indicated that child support was a program working in collaboration with other county departments. We could not do what we need to do or accomplish the things that we have this year without the support of all our county partners on the screen. I want to extend a very thankful, grateful to those primary partners, because without them, again, we could not accomplish the mission. A special thank you to this board for the continued support that they have provided the department, to Monica, Patty, Christy, and Cindy, who help our staff develop solutions and provide guidance during challenging economic times. Last year, we introduced to you a new model that we wanted the agency to be associated with. From that model this year, our focus will be on supporting healthy families and the relationships that those families share. The emphasis of this focus is the word healthy. The psychological benefits expand beyond simply paying a monthly bill. Parents will be encouraged by the department and our staff to engage in responsible parenthood and improve their relationships with each other as well as with their children. In an effort to expand this message, the department partnered with the Modesto Nuts Baseball Organization this past year to develop the following 30-second public service announcement that we would like to share with you at this time.
Now stepping up to the plate, your father. Dads, it's more important than ever to step up to the plate with your children. Kids with a relationship with their father are physically, emotionally, and mentally healthy. Kids in a relationship with their dad are a lot less likely to go to jail or even to have a teen birth. So give your kids a head start by spending time with them and showing them that you care. Because that's a guaranteed home run. Brought to you by the Stanislaus County Department of Child Support Services.
This small 30-second video allowed us to reach approximately 100,000 attendees this year at the Modesto Nuts Ballpark over a 70-home game series. It allowed us to partner a play catch on the field day where parents can invite their children down onto the field and engage and encourage interaction with them. This media partnership earned the Department of Child Support Services the National Child Support Enforcement Association's Excellence Award for Program Awareness. This award, and it's a national one, is given to only one recipient a year in competition with all other states and all other county submissions. I'd like to extend my thanks to our outreach staff under the direction of our very own Sharon Wardell Trejo here with me today for their efforts at connecting parents with their children as well as representing the department so professionally. They have done a tremendous job this year. In closing, it would be inappropriate for me not to recognize my 91-year-old mother who's in the department, who's in the audience today by surprise. I'm very fortunate that I had the support of both my parents. It was an intact home, but I also recognize that both emotionally and financially, the support that they gave me allowed me to be the person that I am today. And our encouragement of families having that same kind of association with their children really does and really has been to me a testament of what effective parenting is all about. In closing, I want to encourage families to reach out to the department for assistance in their child support matters and needs. The services on the screen can all be requested by either website or by phone number, by the phone number listed on the chart above you. And lastly, we're offering two campaigns this year during the month of August for those who have struggled to be engaged with their responsibilities. We want to offer an opportunity to participate fully in the process of supporting all children who have a child support order. Those two opportunities include, again, for a second year, an opportunity to come and see us if your license has been suspended. We're asking for two components, that you make 1 month's worth of support and a small $25 payment towards the arrears to get that license released. Also, this year, for the first time, we want you to come see us about inquiring about past due balances. There is an opportunity that you may be eligible for a compromise on some of those balances that are owed to the government. All you need to do is call us, come and ask for an application, and we'll help you walk through that process. At this time, this concludes my presentation today. Again, I want to thank the board for taking the time to acknowledge that August is Child Support Awareness Month, and I'd be happy to answer any questions or concerns you might have at this time.
Any questions for Director Thomas? Supervisor DeMartini?
Yes, I have to compliment you for your accomplishments this year and that award. And I can't think of any department that returns $3.50 for every dollar spent. So you're done a good job. I was just curious, since you're here, on the state's automated system. I know that took forever to get off the ground, and I just wondered, you didn't mention it, how it's working.
Yeah, we're happy to say. Last year I was a little tentative to answer this question because there were still quite a few defects in the system that were trying to be worked out. I'm happy to say that this year the state has a plan on how those defects have been handled. They're in a hierarchy of what it means to the local agencies in terms of being able to have impact on the collections. So we're pretty happy right now with the way the system is working. We think it does have an impact on the amount of money that we're able to collect, certainly in its automated interfaces. We're seeking more and more agencies in which we can share those interfaces so that we have more collection opportunities. So at this point in time, we continue to keep working and continue to keep telling the state what needs to be fixed so that we have those collection opportunities. But all in all, we're pretty satisfied with the state system at this time.
It took them years to get that system operating. We even had to pay a fine at one time to the federal government.
Yeah, those threats of penalties were on the table for quite some time. We're happy to be past that.
Okay, great. I just wondered how it was going.
Yeah. Thank you for asking.
I'm just going to a little bit reiterate what Jim said. The numbers are great. Like we said, Tamara, the $350 cost effectiveness, that's great. But even more importantly, what you guys are doing to hopefully someday put yourself out of business. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, really, exactly.
You didn't have to do that. And it's always, I say this all the time, but you really are treating the disease, I think, here, rather than just the symptoms. I mean, you're going after this and trying to make your job go away. And I think that's a great thing, and I think that's what we need to do all across the county. And I think what you guys are doing is good work, and just keep it up. So.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I do have a resolution to present.
I'd be happy to. Thank you.
All right, well, we have a resolution from Board of Supervisors, which in part it reads, whereas statewide approximately 8,600 California child support professionals are steadfastly committed to improving the quality of life for 1.5 million California children and families through timely, accurate, and responsive child support services, which collected over $2.3 billion last year. Whereas Stanislaus County Department of Child Support Services is the recipient of and has been awarded the National Child Support Enforcement Association's 2012 Excellence Award for Program Awareness. Therefore, be it resolved that Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors does hereby unanimously proclaim August 2012 as Child Support Awareness Month in Stanislaus County and commends this observance to all of our residents. Tamara, congratulations on good results, and keep it going.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, next on our agenda is public comment period. I have one specific request to speak. We'll start with her, Donna Minigini. I apologize if I mispronounced your last name there. Minigini. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. O'Brien and other supervisors. As a Del Rio resident, I just wanted to make a comment that we are concerned about the Del Rio Lago development, and we wish it good success, but we do want to ask that the Del Rio residents and the association and the board of directors that we are involved in that process. And I understand from the Modesto Bee and also the Public Works reversion to acreage that appears to be a matter before this board, that there have been negotiations with the county, and to my knowledge, none of us are aware of that or have been involved. So we want to just ask that we be part of that, as we are an affected community, and that is my comment. Thank you very much.
Very good, Donna. And this refers to public hearing 910 today, which I will announce right there. There's a staff recommendation to continue that item one last time, but we'll address that here in a few minutes. Anybody else in the audience wish to address this board on any issue that is not on today's agenda within our purview? Seeing none, we'll move to consent calendar. I do have a request from the sheriff to pull item B8. Are there any other requests from the Board of Supervisors? Anybody in the audience wish to comment on any consent calendar items on the agenda marked with an asterisk? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board for approval, less item B8.
Motion to approve the consent calendar minus B8.
And second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. I'm going to go straight to item B8 at this point and ask Sheriff Christensen to come forward. Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, CEO Nino, and Mr. Doering. Adam Christensen, your sheriff, and the reason I pulled this is because I think it's important for you and the community to know about this particular item and how it came about. I want to first introduce our Chief of Police Services from Patterson, Chief Tori Hughes, from Riverbank, Chief Bill Pooley, who were largely responsible for this effort, and I must say I'm very impressed and very proud of what they do for the department and for the community. We have a good team. And as the sheriff, it's very gratifying to know that people work very hard to work through challenges, the challenges we face as a team in public safety, and they do a great job. And so I'm appreciative of that. But more importantly, we're here to talk about asking for your approval to transfer ownership of two law enforcement canines from the Canine Association to the county. In essence, they would become county property and county assets. And how this came about, number one, is through the generous donation of Louise and Larry Sanders, whose son John passed away after a long battle with cancer. And they wanted to recognize and honor their son in a way that his memory would be carried forward. And so they very generously donated to the Canine Association money to purchase a canine, specifically to be deployed in the city of Riverbank. And you probably saw the article the Modesto Bee did and some other local media focusing on Deputy Marcia Matos and her canine partner, Sam. They do a great job. They're very active in the community. Frankly, the kids love them. You know, by all accounts, you would think Sam is nothing but a big, you know, furry playmate. But when there's work to be done, these dogs actively seek out using olfactory sense capability, and they find people who are hiding from us. It's an amazing thing. And of course, we always give people the opportunity to surrender, and usually in the face of furry adversity, they do. Sometimes they don't, but the dogs are a great tool in public safety, and we appreciate that. In Patterson, various members of the community stepped forward to do the same thing, because Chief Hughes took a look at what Chief Cooley had done in expanding the team, and even though we, the Sheriff's Office, have a canine team that cover 1,521 square miles, to have that asset in a city is very, very valuable. And so once again, the community and their generosity, which really speaks to the community support that the Sheriff's Office has and our effective partnerships in the community and providing an effective level of service, again, great partnerships, great teamwork. And again, we were able to raise money and purchase another dog, this time Joker, a Belgian Malinois. He's been assigned to Deputy Nate Crane, and as soon as he finishes training and certifies, he'll be deployed in the city of Patterson. So I wanted the community to know how grateful we are for their support, the partnerships that we have, and I want the community to know, as always, we'll do our very, very best to provide services, to protect and serve with the resources we have. And I especially wanted to thank and recognize the chiefs and their amazing work in all of this as well. Mr. Chairman.
Very good, Sheriff. Thank you very much. I think we need to thank all the donors, which is just incredible. And we learned a new law enforcement term today, furry adversity.
That's right. surrender in the face of furry adversity.
Any comments or questions by board members?
I just want to say thank you for your leadership. I know that it goes back to the donations to the community, but the leadership of both chiefs and you, Sheriff, it goes a long ways towards that. So thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Any public comment on this agenda item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. A motion to adopt?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second it.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Seeing that we're past the time of 9:05, we'll move to the 9:05 scheduled matter, a public hearing to consider the approval of fiscal year 2012-13 assessments for county services areas number 4 through 26.
Thank you and good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, Ms. Nino, Mr. Doring. I'm Matt Machado, Director of Public Works. And with me this morning is Mike Wilson. He is in our engineering group and he manages our special districts. The item before you this morning is a public hearing. It's an annual public hearing to consider the approval of fiscal year 12-13 for our special districts. Mr. Wilson will give a brief report of what the districts are and a bit of the action that we're requesting today. So I'm going to turn it to Mike.
Thank you, Matt. Good morning. To summarize the proposed assessments compared to fiscal year 2011-2012, there are 14 special districts whose assessments will remain unchanged, 8 that will be decreased, and 6 that will increase. All proposed assessments are in compliance with Proposition 218. There are 5 staff recommendations for your approval at the conclusion of this public hearing. Staff requests that anyone wishing to comment during the public hearing please identify the name or number of the special district they are commenting upon. Chairman O'Brien, before opening the public hearing, are there any questions for staff?
Any questions from board members?
No. And we request you open the public hearing.
At this time, we'll open the public hearing and ask that anybody wishes to comment on this agenda item, they may do so now. Seeing no one, we're going to close the public hearing and bring it back. There's 5 staff recommendations.
So moved.
I have a motion by Supervisor Monteith.
Second.
And a second. Supervisor Chiesa, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move to the 9-10 public hearing. And let me get back to this. 9-10 public hearing has been continued from the June 26, 2012 public hearing to adopt a resolution approving the reversion of acres of the Del Rio Lago subdivision. My understanding is staff has supported a second and final continuation of this matter?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and do we have a date specific for this continuation?
It'll be August 21st, 2012.
Okay.
At 6:45.
6:45. It'll be an evening meeting, August 21st, 6:45 p.m. I will ask, being that we publish this as a public hearing, I'll ask if there is any comment. I had one request, but I think it's been withdrawn because it's a continued item. Anybody wish to comment on this agenda item? Seeing none, County Council will take a motion to continue this item.
Yes. Do we have any comment?
Okay. Supervisor Monteith.
First of all, I reiterate what has been said before, but I received a request from the Del Rio Property Owners Association, and basically their request has been to, if any changes to the current Del Rio Community Plan of 1992 are reviewed, they want to be informed and notified of such an event by our staff, and that's their request at this time.
And we heard that in public comment this morning as well, so I'll make sure that we reach out to the community. Okay? Is there a motion to continue this August 25th?
So move.
I have a motion.
Second it.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you. 9:15. We're going to adjourn the Board of Supervisors meeting and call the order of San Francisco County Capital Improvement Financing Authority. have a consent calendar, items A through C. Any comments? Anybody wish to pull any item from consent calendar? Anybody in the audience wish to pull anything from the consent calendar of the Stanislaus County Capital Improvements Financing Authority? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the authority.
I move to approve the consent calendar.
I have a motion by DeMartini.
Second.
Second by Chiesa. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Item 3 on the County Capital Improvements Authority is adjournment, and we're going to adjourn that. And then we're going to call to order the Stanislaus County Capital Improvements Financing Authority regular meeting. The 9:15 was a special meeting. The 9:20 is going to be a regular meeting. And we have agenda item 2A, approval of resolution to refinance a Series A of 1998 certificates of participation through a private placement financing with the Bank of West.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Doering, Monica Nino, your Chief Executive Officer. Back on July 10th, this board directed me to engage our financial advisor, Mr. David Leifer, who is currently sitting at the staff table, along with bond counsel to reevaluate our refinancing of our 1998 Series A bonds. Staff from our Chief Executive Officer, Mark Lozier, is here to present some what staff did in order to evaluate that refinancing, along with Mr. Leifer is here to make a presentation. Thank you.
Good evening, Chairman. Mark Lozier from the Chief Executive Office, and with me is David Leifer from K&N Public Finance, our county's financial advisor. Just by a little bit of background for you, the 1998 Certificate of Participation was a borrowing for the construction and the acquisition of this building that we're in today. And the county borrowed $22,160,000 for the construction of this facility. And it was financed at a fixed rate, and it has a maturity date of September 1, 2018. As the Chief Executive Officer shared with you, the Debt Advisory Committee was convened in late June, and that consists of the Planning Director, the Treasurer, Tax Collector, the Auditor Controller, as well as the Public Works Director, and we met with our Financial Advisor to review some financing options on this debt. And given some of the opportunities that existed, we came to the board on July 10th for approval, and at that time, you directed the Chief Executive Officer to look at these refinancing opportunities. And so today we're back before you, and there are several approvals required. One is for the City County Capital Improvement Financing Agency to approve the amended and restated facilities lease purchase agreement, which was approved on July 17, 2012. The Stanislaus County Capital Improvement Financing Authority also requires approval, and the Board of Supervisors as well. And there are several agreements that are part of the refinancing today that will need to be executed. So at this time, I'd like to introduce David Leifer from K&N Public Finance.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board, staff. Mark, thank you for that introduction. I'm here to just make a very brief presentation about the plan of finance and to answer any questions you may have. As your CEO mentioned, we're seeking to refinance the 1998 COPs, and a refinancing of a COP is really not all that different than a home refinancing. The idea is we've got a lower interest rate environment. We want to take advantage of that. So we're going to borrow money at a lower rate, repay the old investor, and pay the lower rate to the new investor. And we're not extending the final maturity of the bonds. In fact, we're able to shorten the final maturity by a few months, so that's a positive as well. So the purpose of this is to save money, and that's really the only purpose. And we're saving money even after paying the costs associated with preparing the transaction. So on page 2 of our presentation, this is a summary of the bonds that are outstanding now that we're going to be refinancing. You can see as of today, from that $22 million originally, there's now $10.3 million left. And in fact, we're only going to be borrowing $8.6 million to refinance that, and I'm going to explain how we're able to do that in a minute. The call price just means that we're able to prepay these bonds without a premium or a penalty, just like in a home refinancing. There's no penalty or premium to be paid. What's interesting here is that these bonds are only prepayable on an interest payment date. The next interest payment date is September 1st, so we're in a big rush to do this. We need to close this refinancing by July 31st, and then per the documents give 30 days notice to the investors, and then on September 1st we can refinance. So we're on schedule, but it's a tight schedule. The original bonds had a final maturity of September 1, 2018. The new bonds will have a final maturity of June 1, 2018, a slight shortening. And the original bonds had bond insurance associated with them. That's no longer necessary nor advantageous, so we're going to move ahead without that. And the original project, of course, was the county share of this building. The city financed its share separately, and that's not part of this financing in any way. And then the leased asset for this financing will be the same as it was for the original financing, which is the county share of this facility. So if I can move on to page 3. The Debt Advisory Committee, the county's Debt Advisory Committee, has met twice on this and approved proceeding so long as the savings exceeded a certain minimum threshold, which they do. At the last meeting, they directed us to proceed with what we call a direct purchase. It's basically a private placement with an individual bank. And it was our recommendation to do so, and the reason we felt it was appropriate in this case as compared to just issuing bonds through a public sale, and I can explain the difference in a minute, is that this is a very short financing. There's only 5 years left on it, and it's a relatively small financing at $10 million and under. So it lends itself well to what we call a private placement or a direct purchase. Some of the benefits of that approach are listed here on the third bullet. First, there typically will be a lower cost of issuance and financing costs associated with a private placement. For example, in a private placement, you don't need to go and pay Standard & Poor's or Moody's to get a rating on the bonds. The investor is a sophisticated investor. They don't need a rating. There's no reason to pay for one. So that's one area of cost. A second area is there's no official prospectus that's prepared. We call it a preliminary and final official statement in a bond sale. That requires an attorney to hire and all sorts of costs associated with that. Those are saved in this process of direct communication with an individual investor. Typically, this approach allowed us to proceed a little bit more quickly than we would in a public sale, which is a multi-month process rather than just a multi-month process. And finally, and perhaps most important, in a public sale, there is the funding of what we call a debt service reserve fund. It's basically a pool of money that is set aside for the life of the deal in the event there's a credit event. The investors can look to that if for some reason the county didn't pay its debt service timely. And that money gets set aside for the life of the sale. And in this case, we're able to proceed without that. That, again, allows us to downsize the deal. I mentioned from $10 million down to $8 million, and that has a significant benefit to the county because while that money sits there, while it can be invested, it's invested at a rate lower than the borrowing rate. And so that has a cost to the county. So those are all some of the benefits of a private placement. We went ahead and did a mini RFP out to multiple banks. Based on that, the county selected Bank of the West at a very low rate of 1.99% for the 5-year term. So that's the bank that we've been proceeding with and negotiating with over the last couple of months. On page 4 is a summary of the results of the refinancing if the execution proceeds with your approval. Basically, the results are down here. The sources are the borrowed amount of $8.6 million and that reserve fund that we're releasing from the old deal of $1.7 or almost $1.8 million. So all of that comes in. Those are sources. There's a small county contribution that's necessary to cover basically what was July and August's interest payments. And then all that money goes into an escrow. And it pays the cost of issuance. And the net result at the bottom is about $71,000 a year in budgetary savings, about $380,000 on present value savings. So if we add up all the savings over the 5 years, we present value it back to today, it's that amount. And when we look at that as a percentage of the bonds outstanding, it's 3.66%. The numbers aren't huge because the amount that you have outstanding to refinance is not particularly huge and the term is not particularly long. But nonetheless, these are savings that the county can take advantage of, and we think it makes sense for you to do so. On the next page, page 5, this just breaks down the savings on a fiscal year basis or the estimated savings. And you can see, again, it's between $70,000 and $80,000 per year. There's some additional, we need to finalize these numbers of final cost of issuance, but it's going to be very close to this. And we've created a structure where the savings, with the staff direction, where the savings are roughly level each year, so you're not taking an aggressive position and trying to front load all the savings in 1 year or move them all to the back. It's a relatively even structure, as one might expect in a home refinancing as well. The next steps on page 6, if the board sitting as the Capital Improvement Financing Authority and later the board sitting as the Board of Supervisors approves all the financing documents, we're going to go ahead and proceed to finalize the legal documents with the bank and execute those documents and aim to close the financing by next Tuesday or Wednesday before August 1st. Then the money will be wired to the county. It will sit in an escrow for 30 days, which is required under the old bond documents. And then on September 1st, the old investors will be paid off, and the county will start paying the bank at the new rate. So that's the idea. And for your information, I know at a prior board meeting there was discussion about other COPs that the county has outstanding. We've been looking at those too, the 2004 A and B, and we're going to present a plan of action for those once we complete this financing. So that summarizes the financing and ends my comments. I'm available to answer questions. I think there's one more page that staff wanted to end up on. Thank you.
So the recommendation before the board today is to approve a resolution to refinance the Series A 1998 Certificate of Participation to a private placement financing with the Bank of the West, and it includes the following documents listed below.
All right, well, I'd like to congratulate and commend staff for whoever saw that there was a potential savings. This is going to net us $250,000, and that is a lot of money in today's age where we're fighting for every dollar, so congratulations. Any other comments or questions? All right, any public comment on this item, item 2A? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to this authority.
Just one quick thing, David. You don't have to get up, I'm sorry. The net savings we're talking about there are, and I think we've talked about this before, are after your guys' cost.
Yes, after right. Legal, financial advisor.
Everything it took to get to this point, just like on a house when you refinance. So what we're talking about here are net actual numbers.
That's exactly right. I mean, the cost of the issue, yeah, the savings numbers are net. That's why we call it net present value savings. And the costs are added into the borrowing and capitalized over time. But after taking into account all of that, these are the savings that result net to you.
Okay, and just curious, just so everybody will know, the cost to do this, that number?
I think I had down here, it was about $121,000. Yeah, $121,000. We're still waiting for the final number from the bank's lawyer, so it might be a little bit higher than this, but that's the amount. And it would be higher if we did a public sale. It wouldn't be radically higher, but it would be some additional costs. You'd pay for the rating agency, there'd be a separate lawyer to prepare the disclosure document, and some other costs.
Okay, good, thank you.
All right, is there a motion to proceed?
So move staff recommendations.
I have a motion.
I will second that.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 5-0. Brings us down to item 3 of the County Capital Improvement Financing Authority, which is public forum. If anybody wishes to address this financing authority, they may do so now. Seeing none, we're going to adjourn from the San Francisco County Capital Improvement Financing Authority, reconvene the Board of Supervisors meeting, and move to item B10, which ironically is approval of the resolution to refinance the Series A of 1998 Certificates of Participation. The financing authority just had to approve that. Now the Board of Supervisors has to approve this agenda item.
Thank you. There is two recommendations on this item. The first is, again, to approve the resolution that refinances 1998 Series A. And recommendation number two is to authorize the Chief Executive Officer to negotiate and execute all necessary agreements and all other documents to complete the refinancing.
I'll once again ask if there's any questions or comments. Any questions or comments from audience members? Bring it back to the board for action.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 5-0. CEO.
Yes, before we disband here on this item, I'd like to thank staff. David, you in particular, Mark, you especially from the CEO staff perspective, our debt advisory committee, our treasurer tax collectors in our audience. He was very engaged in regards to this financing. And this board, I know this board has not only just sat as this board of supervisors today, but also the Capital Improvement Financing Authority, along with two of these board members, engaged us on a quick commission meeting at the Penn Street place in order to do that approval process because of our time constraints. So I thank you all in order to obtain this over $300,000 savings for our organization.
Very good. Thank you. Moving on to item B11, approval of the Community Corrections Partnership Plan for Phase 2 implementation of the 2011 Public Safety Realignment. Good morning, Chief.
Good morning. Get our PowerPoint set up. Good morning, Chairman O'Brien, members of the board, Ms. Nino, Mr. Doring, Jill Silva. I'm your county's chief probation officer, and I'm here today as chair of the Community Corrections Partnership Board. I present to you the Phase 2 plan for implementation of the 2011 Public Safety Realignment for fiscal year 2012-2013. Our county is in the midst of one of the largest changes to our criminal justice system in history, and there is a lot of information relative to this undertaking, so I hope you can bear with me as I go through a rather extensive presentation for you this morning. As you are aware, the 2011 Public Safety Realignment contained in AB 109 and AB 117 specified new local responsibilities for managing certain adult offenders. In a nutshell, here are the basic changes related to realignment. Individuals convicted of specified felonies of 3 years or less can now be housed in county jail instead of state prison. AB 109 did not limit it to those felonies eligible for sentences of 3 years or less. Instead, eligibility is determined by specific qualifying crimes, so individuals ultimately can serve more than 3 years in custody, in local custody. Options at sentencing for these offenders can include either jail time only, a split sentence of combined jail time and mandatory supervision, or just mandatory supervision only. And starting October 1st, 2011, any offender who is convicted of a non-serious, non-violent, and non-high-risk sex offense and is serving time in state prison will be placed on local supervision upon their release from state prison. All parole revocations for state parolees, except those with a life term, will now be served in a county jail but capped at 180 days. AB 109 became operative October 1st, 2011, upon the passing of a series of budget bills, including AB 117. These budget bills provided the funding and other technical changes necessary to implement the realignment program outlined in AB 109. AB 117 required the Community Corrections Partnership Board to recommend a local plan to the Board of Supervisors for implementation of realignment. This plan is designed to address the most effective ways to maximize public safety and to use taxpayer dollars as we deal with the realigned population. The plan must be voted on by the Executive Committee of the CCP. On the slide before you, we've provided a listing of the CCP members, and we've highlighted the Executive Committee with an asterisk. The Executive Committee consists of the Chief Probation Officer as chair, Sheriff Adam Christensen, District Attorney Birgit Flatiger, Superior Court Administrator Mike Tozzi, Modesto Police Chief Mike Carden, Public Defender Tim Bazaar, and Madeline Schleppler, the Director of Behavioral Health and Recovery Services. Our CCP met a total of 5 times since the initial Phase 1 plan was implemented. And during each of these meetings, the CCP reviewed population projections, progress of our Phase 1 plans, gaps in programming and services, as well as identification of impacts resulting from realignment. The Executive Committee met a total of 3 times to finalize the recommended Phase 2 plan. Due to the uncertainty of the actual impacts resulting from realignment, the CCP agreed last year that a phased approach would be the most effective method for developing the implementation plan. Phase 1, which occurred from October 1, 2011 through June 30th of 2012, was to serve as our foundation and infrastructure for full implementation. Phase 2 occurs during the period of July 1, 2012 through June 30th of 2013. This phase focuses on evaluating and adjusting the Phase 1 programs and infrastructure, expanding programs and services to address the increased numbers, and adding new programs and services to address the needs of the realigned population. Phase 3 is considered full implementation of the plan. During this phase, we will focus on refining of core programs and capacities and adoption of best and evidence-based practices to ensure the best public safety outcomes. We have now completed Phase 1 of realignment, and projections provided by the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, which we commonly refer to as CDCR, estimated that adult facilities would receive approximately 215 sentenced offenders and approximately 75 parole violators during the first 9 months of implementation. Adult facilities actually received 350 offenders and 433 parole violators. Another 187 sentenced offenders and 204 parolees were assigned to the Jail Alternatives Program. In total, this is an increase of more than 300% from what was initially projected by CDCR. Additionally, the sheriff was forced to early release 697 AB 109 offenders during the first 9 months of realignment due to overcrowding. CDCR initially projected that more than 500 post-release community supervision offenders would be returned to local supervision within the first 9 months of implementation. 683 PRCS offenders were actually released to probation supervision, which is over a third more than projected. Additionally, 318 offenders were sentenced to mandatory supervision under Penal Code 1170H. That is 82% of the cases that were sentenced in the first 9 months, which is one of the highest percentages in the state. I think it's also worth mentioning that the central region of the state received an average of 8% more PRCS offenders than expected, while counties in Sacramento and the Bay Areas received 5% fewer than expected. As a reminder, we wanted to highlight for you the programs your board approved for funding during Phase 1. Nearly all of these programs experienced delays with implementation, mainly due to difficulties in hiring qualified staff. All 4 county agencies involved in realignment struggled to fill vacant positions. Phase 1 was used to add sheriff staffing and operational services to increase the inmate bed count by 150. And as I mentioned earlier, nearly 800 sentenced inmates and parole violators have been housed in the adult facilities during Phase 1. Also, funding provided for sheriff staffing to expand the alternative work program and home detention program. Nearly 400 additional offenders were served through the Jail Alternatives Program during Phase 1. Funding added probation staffing and operational services to supervise the anticipated 500 inmates released from the state to community supervision, and as indicated, nearly 700 PRCS offenders were actually released to community supervision. Phase 1 funding supported additional probation staffing and operational services to double the capacity of the day reporting center. During the past 9 months, 536 offenders were served through our DRC, with 49% of those served being AB 109 offenders. Phase One funding added behavioral health and recovery services and probation staffing to increase the capacity of the integrated forensics team that provides a multidisciplinary, comprehensive mental health program. Funding was also allocated for a community services agency social worker to establish benefits to support mental health treatment. 10 PRCS offenders received IF services. Another 11 offenders have been assessed and will receive services upon their release from state prison. And I would just note that CSA was not able to fill the social worker position during phase one. We also, your board allocated funding for a regional apprehension task force. This funding was provided so that agencies would have the ability to be reimbursed for their cost associated with their apprehension efforts. We conducted 4 specialty operations during phase one that resulted in 33 arrests. On June 27, 2012, Governor Brown signed a number of budget trailer bills, related to corrections and public safety to complete the fiscal year 2012-2013 state budget. Senate Bill 1020, included as part of the trailer bills, established the funding structure for the programs and services transferred to the county under the 2011 realignment and sets each county's allocation for the next 2 years. Stanislaus County will receive a little over $12 million during fiscal year 2012-2013. And we will also receive another $150,000 in one-time funding for training and planning purposes. And as I indicated previously, many of the programs experience delays due to the hiring process. Therefore, we anticipate to carry over a little more than $3 million from the 2011-2012 fiscal year. This provides us with funding in the amount of over $15 million during the current fiscal year, and that number is provided for you. The CCP recommends utilization of $13.3 million for Phase 2. This will result in an assigned fund balance of slightly more than $2 million. The CCP board has taken a conservative approach in utilizing its allocation in order to sustain Phase 1 and Phase 2 programs beyond the first 2 years of implementation in the event future funding is reduced or eliminated. Now I want to review for you the Phase 2 programs that we are recommending for funding. We will continue all Phase 1 programs with a couple of minor staffing changes, and these changes are reflected in the staffing section of the agenda item. For the Sheriff's Department, we're recommending funding in the amount of $6.8 million, and this includes funding for also the carryover of the Phase 1 programs. It will provide additional funding to reopen 72 beds at the county's Honor Farm. The additional beds will require funding for 10 staff and increases to jail medical cost. Phase 1 provided the opportunity to identify impacts to staffing and operational issues as a result of the changed inmate population. To address these issues, funding is recommended for additional sheriff's personnel in the following areas: mental health one-on-one escorts, transportation, classification intake, supervision of personnel, and administrative support. Funding for training, equipment, and supplies associated with the increased staffing is also recommended. Finally, for the Sheriff's Department, the plan recommends funding to expand contracted services in the adult facilities, including literacy, vocational training, chaplain services, and clean and sober beds to be used as an alternative option to incarceration. For the Probation Department, we're recommending funding in the amount of $3.5 million, and again, this includes the rollover of Phase 1 programs. It also provides additional funding for additional probation staffing for a second intensive services unit to supervise the increased number of offenders being sentenced to mandatory supervision and PRCS offenders being released from state prison. This funding will also include an assessment officer that will assist the Sheriff's Department in managing jail population by determining risk level of release for offenders at pretrial hearings. The plan also includes funding for on-call services, training, supplies, and equipment. Funding is recommended to support the cost of the crime analyst position that will be allocated to the probation department. This position will assist the county in determining the profiles of the realigned population, trending countywide crime rates and revocations, as well as assisting in determining the effectiveness of programs supported by realignment funding. Funding is recommended for expansion of contracted services at the Day Reporting Center, including drug and alcohol interventions, vocational training, literacy services, counseling educational services, GPS electronic monitoring services, and increased drug analysis. In the area of mental health services, we are recommending funding in the amount of $1.5 million, including phase one rollover. This will provide additional funding for mental health staffing to augment the existing services provided by the jail medical provider. This includes three additional clinicians to provide assessment services, individual and group counseling, and referral linkage to providers upon release. And one of these clinicians will be dedicated to providing services solely at the Public Safety Center. An additional clerical position will provide support to staff and the expanded programs. Funding is recommended to provide for psychiatry, medication, nursing, and supportive services to serve up to 100 PRCS offenders that were receiving intensive to moderate psychiatric care while in state prison. Funding is also recommended to further expand the IF program that was funded in phase one. This will allow for mental health services for an additional 24 PRCS offenders that were previously receiving extensive psychiatric services while in state prison. Funding in the amount of $1 million is recommended to provide for the purchase of temporary modular buildings that will be placed at the Public Safety Center to serve as a temporary day reporting center, programming center, while a new permanent structure is being built. The DRC currently located at the former Salida substation is no longer suitable for the DRC due to the increased population being served through realignment and the expanded need for program and treatment space. The Sheriff's AB 900 project includes a new day reporting center, but it will be a couple of years before that facility is built. Finally, the funding in the amount of $85,000 is recommended for a pilot vocational and educational program for PRCS and mandatory supervision offenders. The program, called Second Chances, utilizes a queen-assisted growth and development services and is designed to address mental health issues. Additionally, included in the budget is the $150,000 in one-time training and planning dollars, and also an additional $100,000 for continuation of the Regional Apprehension Task Force. The recommended funding will support 44 positions allocated to four county departments. The details for these positions are listed in the chart before you, as well as the staffing impact section of the agenda item. The previous year's budget was approved as an interim spending plan at the fiscal year 2012-2013 proposed budget. Adjustments to the budget will be made at final budget after we have gotten your approval of the funding for phase two. We have outlined a number of future issues that we will need to continue to monitor and address. We must pursue constitutional protection for sustainable and adequate funding to support our realignment efforts. AB 1020 established the funding formula for county allocations for the next two fiscal years. We are very concerned that there are flaws to this formula. Central Valley counties continue to receive realigned offenders at a higher rate than the rest of the state. It is imperative that the funding follow these offenders. I do not believe that the funding formula used for the next 2 years does that. We are fortunate, though, that our CEO, Monica Nino, is on the realignment allocation committee that will be working on revisions to the formula. The sheriff and I are committed to working with Ms. Nino to ensure that she has sufficient data and information to support her efforts in getting changes to the formula. We will continue to monitor our population projections and how they compare to the actual numbers. We will have to continuously evaluate our infrastructure, including our jails, personnel, and programs. And we know there will be political gamesmanship, as well as unintended consequences and impacts on other county programs as the result of realignment. Our next steps. The CCP will continue to meet through the year to review population numbers, service and treatment needs, staffing levels, and outcomes of enhanced and expanded programs in order to develop a recommended plan for the subsequent year. The CCP may determine that full implementation cannot occur until a permanent funding structure is in place. Each year's plan will be submitted to your board for approval upon its completion. We have three recommendations for your consideration. We are requesting that you approve the Community Corrections Partnership Plan for Phase 2 implementation of the 2011 Public Safety Realignment. We are requesting that you authorize the Chief Probation Officer to sign all necessary documents related to the 2011 Public Safety Realignment, including all contracts, and amend the Salary and Position Allocation Resolution to reflect the recommended changes outlined in the Staffing Impact section, effective the first pay period following the Board of Supervisors' approval. And with that, I'm available to answer any questions. I would also note that the Sheriff and our Director of Behavioral Health and Recovery Services are also available in the audience, should you have any questions specific to their agencies.
Well, very good report and presentation. I think it's important to start by complimenting the great working relationship that we have with everybody involved, from our top cops, from the Sheriff, the District Attorney, and yourself, with the department heads. That relationship doesn't necessarily exist in other counties, and coming up with this plan would be much more difficult if you didn't have that great working relationship. So congratulations to all of you on that. The community is well served by that. As far as the plan, I think it's a very good plan. The slide you had marked as future issues are really known risks, known scary risks, because everything listed there is absolutely true, and it is quite scary when we look at the numbers that we're seeing come through, the numbers that are so much higher than what their estimates were. How, as a community, we're going to handle that? How, as a community, we're going to handle the number of inmates that are being released early? It is quite scary, but this community needs to understand we have some great professionals who are leading the charge on this. And, again, your working relationship is going to serve the community well. Other comments or questions by board members? Supervisor Chiesa.
Good work. Good work. I don't want to, when I look at the numbers and how you're spending the money, I don't want to tell you how to do your job. I think you guys have done really good work. Very pleased. I want to say I'm very pleased to see that there's a substantial amount of money going to the mental health services. We know how many people are coming out. The large majority have issues, and also the crime analyst, I'm sorry. I think that's going to be very important as we track these numbers, and as CEO Nino is on a committee to try and explain our case, because you kind of laid it out there. The funding formula was unfair. All the folks that were on the funding formula committee came out in the positive. The Central Valley didn't come out very well. And so it's kind of the chicken and the egg argument. They'll tell you that they diverted people from going to prison, but I will argue that they have less crime, we have more need in our community, all the way around. I know this is uncharted territory, but I just want to ask you one question about, you bring a plan every year to us. We have the ability to vote it up or down, but can you guys, as you're running through this uncharted territory, can you make adjustments to your budget without coming back to the board, or is it you're locked in for a year?
Well, I think part of this has been a discussion topic at the CCP. There's flexibility in that, at least if we start identifying as we go through the year that we have additional needs or a need for programs that are not currently being provided, we would discuss that at the CCP, and we could bring it back to the board for adjustments throughout the year. We're not locked into it, but it would require us to return to get final approval from the board.
I just think that that's important that you can make adjustments, or else everyone's going to build in excess in their budgets instead of what is really needed. But then you can come back to the committee, and that's good to hear that. I didn't see that anywhere.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's been really important to us as we keep meeting monthly with the CCP, that we are sharing out. We have program staff that are presenting at each of the CCPs so that we can talk about what are the impacts, what are we seeing with the type of offenders that we're getting. So it's kind of a way of monitoring as we go throughout the year how effective we're being.
Thank you.
Supervisor DeMartini?
Am I correct in seeing here that there's the 72-bed increase is all we're going to have out of this?
That is in addition to the previous beds that were added, yes.
Yeah, well, to the other pod that was opened up, but I'm not sure if I read this right, but the 72 additional beds are going to cost $6.8 million?
No, the $6.8 million is all of the sheriff's funding for all of the programs that I detailed. That includes all of the Phase 1 funding as well that we did for the opening of the 150 beds that was in Phase 1. So it's a combined year one cost as well as the Phase 2 funds. Okay. Am I making...
Okay, that just wasn't clear.
Making myself clear, yes.
A little high.
I wanted to be sure that it wasn't... In the plan, $6.8 million, I think it was, is allocated to the sheriff. That includes all realignment programs for fiscal year 2012-2013 that are within his budget.
Okay. And what is his regional apprehension task force that cost $100,000? What is it?
And I don't know if it will cost $100,000. Like we did with the first year, we set aside $100,000 to do specialty operations. It's a way of bringing in our city law enforcement who are also impacted by realignment and being able to reimburse them for their time spent going out and doing, serving bench warrants, going out and working with probation and doing searches on the realigned population. It's a way for them to get reimbursed for those costs. This year, we spent very little of it for the four operations. That was kind of the top end that we put for the amount of funding available.
And this is something we've never done in the past?
We did it with Phase 1.
How many in past years?
We've done it with other operations. We do it with the Office of Traffic and Safety for DUI activities, prevention activities. It has been done with weed and seed operations where there's funding, grant funding set aside, and then the agencies that participate in the activities bill against that funding. So it's kind of been a model that we've done in the past.
You know, generally, the state funding after a few years starts going away. So I just hate to see you create these new programs and task forces.
Yeah, and maybe I should clarify with that. That was part of our reason for only putting us a set amount of funding aside to reimburse them for the cost. We felt if we went out and told the city police departments, here's funding and you can go hire new staff, if the funding went away, they would be laying those people off. So it really is to cover overtime expenses or just if they are spending a certain amount of time each month conducting these kind of activities. They would not necessarily go out and add staffing to their departments.
Okay, this crime analyst, you have a new position for. Why would that be necessary to have a new position like that?
Well, collecting data and tracking information like that from all of the agencies countywide to be able to determine what the profile of these people are, what are the impacts of realignment on our community is labor intensive. We don't have staff available to do that. So getting someone who has that expertise will aid the CCP in being able to identify what kind of services and needs that we have.
Okay, that just seemed questionable to me. But
I think as Supervisor Chiesa mentioned, I think it's going to be very, very critical to us to be able to tell our picture as we go back to the state and to ensure that we get our fair share of that piece of the pie, to be able to say these are the impacts of what's happening in our community, to be able to tell that story. We've got we've got police agencies right now that, you know, they're able to show that their arrest rates are going up, but we don't know, is it a direct relationship to realignment or not? And we need somebody with that level of expertise to be able to say this is a direct result of realignment, or it's just what's happening across the nation, not specific to the state of California and our community. So that position is going to aid us in that.
Okay, well, you can gather statistics to tell your story, but the Bay Area counties are always going to get more money than us because we just don't have the political influence there. And my prediction is whatever money that we get now, it'll be less the next year and less the year after that, because that's the way it always goes. So I'd be very careful about adding on these positions and putting money into task force and all that, because historically, the amount of money that the state gives on programs always diminishes.
I'll just comment on the crime analysis as well. The other aspect of it is to evaluate the programs that we're providing to make sure that they are effective, make sure they're cost-effective, make sure they're effective, that we're getting the right results. So that's another added benefit of the analyst.
That's true. Thank you.
Supervisor Withrow?
Hi, Jill.
Hi.
A couple things. First of all, it's what a disaster California is. Sorry, that's just my commentary. And I just came back from my son's wedding in North Carolina, and it's amazing how many businesses are there, just how, you know, that state is thriving and what's going on there. And there's a reason for that. You know, not only the grass always looks greener, but it is greener there. And there's a reason it is, just because of the way they're running their state. So we're handed this disaster, and we're supposed to work with it. So I want to compliment you on how good you're doing with this. It's unbelievable. And I think I think Fido said it and Bill, that there's other counties that are probably looking to us to see how we're doing this thing. I know I've sat down on some of these meetings, and what you guys are doing is innovative, and it's taken what we've been handed and doing great things with it. I wanted to ask you real quick about, okay, so that's my commentary part of it. We should all go to North Carolina. So the Day Reporting Center in Salida, what's going to happen with that? I see what we're going to bring in. We're going to spend $1 million for these modules, and then what's going to happen with those modules once the facility then is built out and we don't need those modules anymore? So first, Salida, what's going to happen with that lease and the term on that? And
sure. Our lease goes through December of this year, and then if the modulars are not in place, we would continue on a month-to-month lease at Salida until that happens. What the landlords will use that property for, I have no idea, but it won't. After December, we would be relieved of our requirement for the lease. The modular buildings would belong to the county for its use. Part of our discussions have been that even with the permanent day reporting center, there may still be a need to be able to house staffing that are providing services at the adult facilities. And so those modulars would then be available for housing staff. I know the director at Behavioral Health, they're really, all of these positions we've added, they're struggling to find space for them. And so that may be one option going forward.
So we're
going
to be able to use this. And so that at least ends at the end of December, and then more month to month after that.
Correct.
And hopefully these modules will be in place by that time.
Yes.
Okay, good. Perfect. I just wanted to comment just a little bit about, and somebody here talked about it too, the mental health side of it, which is, I think, is a great thing. You know, if you look at our budget, about 10% of the budget is going towards mental health. And if you look at the new positions, about 25% of the new positions are mental health. And so I think that's just another example of us, you know, besides just inheriting this and just trying to hire as many people to chase the bad guys down and do whatever we have to, we're actually trying to fix it. And so I just want to encourage us to continue to do as much as we can. You know, we're taking the cards we're dealt with here, but let's make this actually better than what the state, we know we can, and we've said this before, we can do this better than the state can, as much as we hate being put in this position. And one of the ways we can do it is with the mental health. So let's try to keep these guys from being bad guys. So anyway, thanks for all you're doing. You're doing great work, and keep it up.
Any other questions from board members?
You know, if I could just make one comment, just kind of echoes the points that you were making about how we work so well in our county. I was at a state chief's meeting last week, and the issue of ongoing AB 900 funding for jail construction came up, and there was a lot of discussion and push that that funding really needs to focus on softer beds like day reporting centers and programming space. And I sat there and mentioned to the chief from Riverside, well, our sheriff has already included that in his project for this year, and he handed me the mic and told me I needed to share that out because that really is unheard of right now. I don't know of any other county where we've had a sheriff so willing to, you know, work and go beyond just building jail beds, looking at really what are the needs of the community and utilizing that funding for a program that probation's going to run. So, I mean, I think that says a lot about the relationships in this county.
Very good. At this point, we'll ask anybody in the public wishes to address this item on the agenda. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. Any final comments or a motion?
Motion to approve the four recommendations.
Motion is
I'll second that.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you very much, Chief. Okay, brings us to item C5, approval to enter negotiations with the City of Oakdale and Riverbank for START, the Stanislaus Regional Transit, to provide transit services to those communities previously served by ROTA, Riverbank Oakdale Transit Services. Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman O'Brien, members of the board, Ms. Nino, Mr. During. I'm Diane Hall. I'm the Assistant Director with Public Works. I'm here this morning with this item, and with me at the staff table, or at the podium, is Eunice Lovey. She's our transit manager. She's fairly new in the position. She started with us in February, so we're kind of just tossing her right in here with this item. Our item this morning is the approval to enter into negotiations with the cities of Oakdale and Riverbank, for Stanislaus Regional Transit, or START, to begin to provide transit services to the communities previously served by Riverbank Oakdale Transit Authority. So that would be the communities of Oakdale and Riverbank. So Eunice is going to handle the presentation, and then we'll be able to answer any questions you may have.
Good morning.
Good morning. My presentation this morning is based on the staff report for the proposed START and ROTA transit services consolidation, for which staff is recommending approval. This presentation includes background information on the coordination effort, summary of START transit services offered in the county, an overview of our services provided in the communities of Oakdale and Riverbank. I'm also going to provide a summary of the proposal submitted to ROTA's board for approval, and basically share with you in terms of our next action items and what we need to do. A little bit of background on what we're proposing to do. ROTA currently offers general public dial ride service in the communities of Riverbank and Oakdale. As requirement of the Transportation Development Act, ROTA is required to meet a fare box recovery ratio of 10%. However, this has been a challenge to ROTA. 2 years ago, START was approached to provide or submit a proposal to merge the services provided by ROTA with what we provide in the county. At the June 2012 ROTA board meeting, our proposal was approved to give us okay to proceed with the merging of the two systems. I wanted to point out that currently we have MOU, the county has MOU with the cities of Newman, Waterford, and Patterson to provide services in their community. And given that staff is really experienced to merge the services and provide the services that are required in those two communities. This is an overview of the service we currently provide in the county. We offer six route services from Modesto to Turlock to Merced and also Gustine. We have four deviated fixed route service and three dial ride service with the cities of Patterson, Waterford, and Newman. And we also provide non-emergency medical transportation service to Bay Area for residents of the county that currently have medical appointments in the Bay Area. This is a snapshot of ridership for START for 3 years. And as you can see, ridership continues to rise. And for the last fiscal year, ridership was up about 10%. The next slide provides an overview of our services in the two communities. As indicated, we have a fixed route service which basically serves residents of Modesto traveling to Oakdale and Riverbank and vice versa. We also have deviated fixed route service, the East Side Shuttle, that connects residents of both communities to Modesto. And the Waterford Dial-A-Ride service also provides service to Eastern Oakland, Oakdale, I'm sorry. Just to give you a sense of how the ridership on those routes are doing, the Route 60 had an increase of 13% over the last fiscal year, 11-12 over 10-11. Eastside Shuttle ridership is a little bit down. However, the Waterford Dial-A-Ride service had an increase of over 12%. So those two routes are doing pretty well. This slide basically provides a summary of the proposal submitted to the Roto Board. We're recommending to continue the existing Roto service, as well as also continue providing the service that START currently provides in both communities. As part of the proposal we proposed, we're going to evaluate all the services, including the ones provided by Roto. And we believe this will give us the opportunity to basically analyze the feasibility of implementing new service options in the two communities. Based on the findings we come up with, that will enable us to define the service options that we need to implement in both communities. There's also the need to assess the need for capital equipment. For instance, as a result of merging both services, there are vehicles that we need to take over. And part of the process is to assess the need as to whether we can use the vehicles in the service that we're proposing to provide. We strongly believe that the benefits of consolidating the services is going to result in lower fares for residents in both communities, especially seniors and the disabled. We also believe that the general public are going to benefit for the new services. There's going to be new free transfers from service from one route to the other. More importantly, we believe that children that also use public transportation are going to be benefiting from this, because right now for Roto, the policy is to offer free rides for children 3 and below. But as a result of our policy, that is going to increase from 5 to and below for them to ride the services. There's also the opportunity to connect to other START routes, as well as local transit systems. And we believe that the transition is going to be very smooth because we're going to be using the same service operator. This chart is basically a snapshot of the two fare systems. Column 2 and 3 basically shows our fares for the fixed route system and as well as the East Side Shuttle. 4 and 5 basically shows the differences between the fares for our current Dial-A-Ride service as well as those for Roto. And as you can see, there is substantial cost savings for residents who are going to be using this service. For our next step, pending approval by the board, we're hoping to begin negotiations with both cities and also start working on an MOU. We're also going to analyze additional impact on current START service contract, because there's a need to factor the additional service into the current contract that we have. We also need to work with Roto and Stancock to amend Roto's FY 2012-13 TDA claims. We also need to evaluate performance measures, given the fact that there's an additional service, and determine how that impacts us, and also work with Stancog to modify that if needed. Again, we need to determine the need for capital equipment. Is there a need for additional buses, or is there a need for us to install fare boxes in the buses that we're acquiring as a result of merging the two services? More importantly, one of the things we're hoping to do is begin community outreach, because we believe that is very important and we need to do that immediately. That will allow us to gather input from the communities, and it will help us also to design and finalize what service options we need to implement in those two communities. Again, we need to finalize the MOU that we're going to be working on with the two communities and seek approval from the board as well as the city councils of those two communities. And in addition to that, we are hoping to develop and implement new marketing initiatives to really market the new service in those two communities. And lastly, we're hoping to, after everything is completed, we're hoping to implement enhanced transit services in those two communities. So for our recommendation, we ask the board to approve recommendations to enter into negotiations with the cities of Oakdale and Riverbank to provide transit services to communities previously served by ROTA. And that's the end of my presentation.
Very good. I'll have to say I'm very supportive of this agenda item. Trying to reduce trying to increase the efficiencies that we have in transit, I think is very important. I used to sit on ROTA back when I was in Riverbank, and so I know they have a huge concern of loss of local control.
Yeah.
They send us over to the county. So I know it's a difficult decision for them to start this negotiation, start working towards this. But I think it's very important. They're struggling with their fare box,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we as government, we always have to live within the financial means that we have on us. And so I want to compliment Riverbank and Oakdale and ROTA for taking this step, and I'm very much supportive of this agenda item.
If I could also comment, Stancog, we have a subcommittee talking just about this with representatives from Max, CAT, BLAST, ROTA, and START, and this came out of our meetings. We're still continuing to push for one bus service in Stanislaus County. I think it makes sense. For ROTA, there's immediate cost savings, and connectivity will be far superior. I want to acknowledge ROTA's member, Richard O'Brien, who has... because this came up 2 years ago and it didn't go anywhere, mm-hmm. and it should have, but through his strong leadership, pushing the ROTA board because of the obvious savings. And I will continue to talk with CAT and BLAST and Max to see how we can create more efficiencies, but I am in complete support of this too.
Okay. I wanted to mention that ROTA's transit coordinator is in the audience, just in case there are any questions of her.
Okay. Any other questions? Supervisor Withrow?
CAT, BLAST, and Max. What's CAT?
Series.
Okay.
Area
BLAST?
BLAST is Turlock.
Okay.
Max, hey, you're right. You should ring the bell. That's to Area Transit.
Okay.
Anyway, it's perfect. All five of the transit operators we're meeting on a regular basis.
I just want to just kind of repeat what everybody else has said. I think this is a great thing to do. Like I said, it sounds like it's been working on it for a couple of years, long before me, and now it's really getting legs, and I hope that it continues to go forward. There's no reason for us to have the number of bus services that we have in this county. I think we need to have one, and I know that people have the issues with losing local control, but I think we kind of need to get past that and continue on this path, and I think it's going to work out great here, and then we can continue to go from there. So thank you guys for doing this.
Thank you.
Anybody in the audience wish to comment on this item? See no one, I'll return to the board for action.
Motion to approve.
A motion.
Second it.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, moving to correspondence.
This board has received a notice from Caltrans regarding the State Route 99 Hammett Road Interchange Replacement Project that will be held on Tuesday, July 31st, 2012.
Refer to Department of Public Works.
The board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports? Seeing none, how about a legislative fiscal management report?
Yes, Chairman. Currently, the state legislature is in recess, so Sacramento's really quiet right now. On the federal side, the Joint Committee on Taxation released new information showing that both parties are really struggling in regards to over $51 billion in tax policy for next fiscal year. This is the difference between the parties' plan for temporary extension of the Bush tax cuts. On the Farm Bill front, Pillsbury, the county's legislative lobbyist, have had conversations with the House and Senate staff with agricultural interests. There appears to be growing belief that any House floor action on the bill will be postponed until after the election. Also, our county legislative lobbyists are also hearing that House Republicans are already moving forward on an idea to compromise on a continuing resolution for current spending that would delay discussion until after the election also. This seems to mark a change in Republican leadership's ability to kind of get their membership on all one side as far as a decision goes. So that concludes it.
This meeting is adjourned.